She drove toward the ocean at sunset, drawn to a place she'd never been. And by nightfall, she was gone, released from a remote sheriff's station with no phone, no purse, and no way to get home, vanishing into the dark canyons of Malibu. What led her there? Why was she let go? And how did her story end deep in the woods in a place they claimed they'd already searched? Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite deadly duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky, where I tell the stories and he just gets dragged along for the ride.
Typical.
Yeah, usual. Nothing
it's new. Either I'm getting dragged along or I'm doing the driving for us.
Okay, anyways, no one's saying. This is where I drive. Drive in this in the podcast. Okay?
This is the one time I get to be passenger princess.
Pretty much. If we're comparing, we're making comparisons and metaphors. Yeah. So, are you enjoying the ride at least?
I do.
Is it a little bumpy sometimes? A little rough?
Oh, 100%. A little frustrating.
You're like, I really hate it when we don't find a guy at the end of it, or the criminal gets away with it,
or it ends up being the girl that's from the story that framed herself.
Oh my God, the Lululemon murderer? Yeah, I still can't believe that. That you have referenced that one at least once every other week since we filmed
it. She still pisses me off.
She's still stuck in your head?
Yep.
Is that the one case that...
Same with DuPont. Why the DuPont fuck killed the dog?
I know. What was that? Episode 3?
You killed the dog and you called your son home from college to kill them both?
Yeah. And then you
killed
your...
Well, the dog wasn't at college, but you get the point.
No, and they had two dogs and he killed both
of
them. Yeah.
The fuck they gonna do? They can't speak.
Yeah, that was, he was selfish as hell. I still can't believe that one. Today, we are going to go somewhere we haven't been yet.
Ooh. Antarctica.
No, but you know what? I'm going to look into, now that you mention it though, I need to look to see if there's any crimes or creepy stories in Antarctica. There has to be. There has to be some sort.
Polar bear. Serial killer on the list.
Coca-Cola bear. No, I don't think
Coca-Cola bear teams up with cocaine bear.
Oh my God. Imagine that would be the monster of collabs. That would be insane. No, today we're going to the West Coast, though. This, I think, would be officially our first West Coast story, I think.
All right.
No, actually, that's not true because we covered the Mary Vincent case and she ended up living in Washington, I think it was, or Seattle, and her murderer was living in Florida, but he ended up dying.
That was all crazy. Anyways.
Yeah, that was a crazy one too. That was a crazy story. No, we're heading to the West Coast today, baby. Specifically around the Malibu area.
Ooh.
Do you know about the Malibu area?
I know very well about the Malibu area.
The only thing I know much about the Malibu area is Miley Cyrus's Malibu song.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
the ocean's beautiful.
Yeah,
lots of restaurants on the beach.
Yes, on the coast.
Very
and stuff.
Surf city, but also somewhat upscale still.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very nice. That's what I was reading. Also, I've seen a lot of celebrities also live there.
Yes,
because the homes aren't
that Laguna,
they're a little bit more remote instead of just like in LA or whatnot. So
basically, the minute you get past Huntington Beach, then you hit Laguna and further on to Malibu. Those
That's
are
true.
All the good areas.
Remember we almost moved there just because of a job.
Yeah.
Because of one of the jobs that I was
and
interviewing
then remember
for.
We started looking at homes.
Yeah.
And
we're like, we're not making a dent here, dude. This is a drop in the big, big puddle.
They said, you want a she shed for $595,000? Oh, by the way, your taxes are $2,000
for
a
real?
Month.
And they were offering good money, but then I was like, dude, we have three dogs. The only thing we can afford there is a small apartment.
No.
There's no way we're going to go from a house to go back to living in an apartment. Living with three dogs, that would be insane.
It's insane.
Beautiful area, though. But
gorgeous.
Today, we're going to be talking about Maitrece Richardson. Have you ever heard of her?
I have not.
Okay, we'll be talking about her case today. Maitrece Richardson was born on April 30th of 1985 in Los Angeles to her parents, Latisse Sutton and Michael Richardson. She grew up in Covina with her mother, Latisse, and stepfather, Larry. From a young age, her family describes her as always been very vivacious. She was a cheerleader. She was a beauty queen contestant. She was an honor student. She was a track star athlete. I mean, she was the whole nine.
Everything.
Yeah. When you see her, I mean, she looks gorgeous.
She looks like she would be a track star.
Hell yes. A track star, a model, all that and above. Okay. She was also giving me very much America's Next Top Model vibe.
Like Tyra Banks?
Yeah. Like she's stunning. A lot of her family described her as, like, her aunt, Lauren, described her as she would pretty much make everyone take notice of her when she walked in. Like, she just had this energy to her, right? Now, Maitrice graduated from South Hills High School and earned a BA in psychology from California State Fullerton in 2008, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She lived in South LA and was helping care for her great-grandmother, Mildred, who had Alzheimer's. She had just started working part-time at a shipping company, and she was also interning with a forensic psychologist while this girl, like,
Dope as shit.
Right, Maitrice was, like, on her road. She's like, listen, I know what I want. I know what I want to do, and we're going to do it.
I'm going to just go get it.
Yeah, we're doing it. She was also dancing part-time at an LGBTQ nightclub in Long Beach as well. So she's doing everything. She's doing everything she can, all around. Yes. And she's also, she was also in a relationship with a woman at that time as well, because she is also lesbian. She even wanted to try doing, like, full-time modeling, which, like I said, you can definitely see that. She's absolutely gorgeous. But in the weeks that led up before the night of September 16th of 2009, she started acting a little bit strange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She had been sending texts to her mom that were very bizarre, very strange text messages that usually no one really... I'm going to read one of the messages. It's just kind of strange. Okay. Like, imagine you're just talking to a family member, and they start,
like,
talking
to
you.
Like my mom or dad, yeah.
Yeah. So one of them read, maybe I need somebody that can save me from the parts of myself that keep making me crazy.
Okay.
Right?
And that's so giving me suicidal.
Damn.
Should
okay.
probably check in on my kid.
Well, it's kind of odd that she is messaging.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody was taking notice. Well, like, oh, this is right.
That's what I mean.
Right.
You're saying that you need to protect yourself from your crazy side.
Yeah. Like, why are you saying that? It's not, unless you're, like, giving emo vibe, you know, like, this is your hardcore wasn't a phase mom. Like, I get it. But
it was never a phase mom.
It was never a phase. Yeah. Although it was really concerning for her mother, Latisse, at the time, because she even said in an ABC News interview that every time she would talk to Maitrice and ask her what those messages meant, because they sound very cryptic.
Yeah.
What do you mean
by
that?
It sounds like you're screaming for help, but at the same time.
But not, yeah. Or you just don't even know what's going on yourself.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
So she said that when she would ask Maitrice, like, hey, what did you mean by that message? She would end up explaining herself away where it somehow would make sense to her. And she was like, oh, okay, get it, right? Like, sure. But in the days leading up to the night of September 16th of 2009, something changed. Maitrice was reportedly starting to act a little bit more erratic. She was posting cryptic messages and posts on social media like, I'm writing a book, because if I don't write it, who will? And referencing watching everyone and hearing things.
That sounds... See, now that's almost getting into where it sounds almost schizophrenic, as if you're
or
watching
right?
or hearing
some
everything.
Type of mental illness.
Yeah,
yes.
That's wild.
Right. So the night in question that I mentioned twice already, September 16th, 2009, that night, Maitrice drove to Geoffrey's in Malibu, which is this very upscale oceanfront restaurant nearly an hour away from her house in downtown L.A. It was pretty much 40 miles from South L.A. is where she lived at. It was pretty much 40 miles from where she lived, and she got there around 7 p.m. Now, this restaurant, absolutely beautiful, ocean views to the Pacific. It's on the coastline. Yeah, it looks very upscale. It's got twinkly lights. It's a vibe. It's a mood. You know, people are going to go there. They're going to have a good time. It's very bougie. Yeah. Very bougie.
It reminds me of the place that we went to in Mallorca.
Oh, my God. Yes. When we had, like, that romantic dinner by the ocean, by the water. Yeah, it looks
exactly. But I can guarantee the price tag that we played was nothing near this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't. But it's pretty much in that sense.
Yeah.
And on their site, they even describe it as a romantic Mediterranean meets Malibu atmosphere, which is definitely, which is definitely a vibe. I mean, you see the photos, they're gorgeous. I mean, I want to go. I'm like, hey, I love me a good coastline restaurant.
Time to take out a second mortgage. Please listen to the podcast. We need to get paid.
Oh, God, so funny. Well, she ends up arriving there alone, and right off the bat, the workers are already saying that she is starting to seem off, right? The staff, the diner going, you know, it's just getting a, it's, she's acting a little off. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not clear exactly why she chose to go to Joffrey's, but from what I was reading and seeing in the interviews that I was for the news, she had been saying that the glow of the lights, I think she told her aunt or whatnot, she told somebody, but that the glow of the lights of the restaurant was kind of drawing her in to go.
Okay.
Right? So that's why she ended up going. Yeah, that's why she ended up going into Joffrey's.
Same thing. Sounds very cryptic. Sounds so cryptic. Yeah.
And especially when she doesn't act like this on the regular, yeah. It's really weird. Because I totally get being drawn to a location because of how it looks. Or, you know, it might be, oh, that sounds interesting, I want to go check it out. Or, oh, that's, we should try that next time. And I've been on the other side where sometimes I have no plans for that day, but then I decide, oh, let me just see where the day takes me.
Yeah.
But I'm normally like that, you know, it would be weird.
Yeah.
It would just at least throw up a flag where you're like, oh,
if you,
yeah. Like, yeah. Are you going through something that you're acting yeah. like that? It's just not really like you. When she arrived, a valet noted that her car was an absolute mess. There was papers scattered everywhere, very disorganized, and he described it as ransacked almost. Then, without warning, Maitrice somehow, like, she got out of her car, right? She pulls up to Joffrey's. She gets out of her car. Valet's there. She ends up climbing into this valet's car.
Into valet's car?
Yeah, like, it seems like his car was there, and she climbed into... And I know that part was kind of confusing okay. to me, but she climbs into either his car, right? Or someone who works there's car.
Some other car.
Yes. She climbs into the car and she started rummaging through his personal belongings, including
what the
his
hell?
CDs. Yes. Obviously, he's like, girl, what's up? What's going on?
Look, all these songs came off LimeWire. I ain't going to lie.
Are you the FBI? I knew it. I knew it. No. So when he asks her, you know, what are you doing? She ends up saying something cryptic to him, saying, oh, it's subliminal.
What the fuck?
I know. Saying it's subliminal. And he wasn't the only one alarmed or yeah. noticing her behavior, because she was saying, she even told a hostess that was working there that night, Caroline, who ends up speaking publicly in some ABC interview videos that I saw. Later, she was saying that Maitrice was even asking the valet about numbers and asking if he understood the sequence of these numbers. And then
this
she...
This sounds so... It almost sounds... I can't think of the movie. Almost Limitless.
Limitless, yeah. It's just like... Right. Yeah, it's just odd. It's
like
so
everything
odd.
Has a code to her. Everything's calling her.
And then she's saying it's subliminal.
That's weird.
Yeah, and she's talking about numbers and the codes. And
something's
it's,
going on.
Something's going on, for sure. She ended up even adding something that just really made no sense. And she had said, I'm here to avenge Michael Jackson's death. Right off the bat, I'd be like, something's off. if you didn't think something was up. No, because she says, I'm here to avenge Michael Jackson's death. And then she ended up saying something about saying that she's from Mars.
Yo, if I was anyone working there and I heard that,
right.
I would have immediately just slowly got my keys, gone back to my car and been leaving quietly.
I'd be like, something is happening and I don't know what is going on. But clearly, as I'm explaining this to you, already for you, you're getting flags of something's going
yeah.
on mentally. Just something's not right. She's acting
no.
strange and bizarre. Her family's
this
noticing
is giving
it.
Me literally the I should leave before this gets bad.
Now, despite those bizarre situations, okay, Maitrice was pretty calm the whole time. She was very polite. She wasn't acting crazy. She wasn't acting aggressive. She's just, you know, she's
just
I mean, she's
out.
Saying strange things,
okay.
but she's not coming off as an aggressor or a threat.
So she's normal in the sense of
it's like what she's saying
actions.
Is, yeah, she's just
physical
like,
actions,
yeah.
but. The verbiage that she's
yeah,
using is what's
strange.
Throwing the flags.
It's off.
Okay.
Yeah, because that just, what are you saying? It's weird, right? She also wasn't drunk. Like, she didn't appear to be drunk at all. She wasn't slurring her words, but obviously her behavior is just strange. She ends up walking inside because she's going to get dinner. She sat down. She orders a Kobe steak and an Ocean Breeze cocktail, and the total bill comes
ooh,
out to $89. Okay. But she didn't end up staying at her table. Instead, she gets up and she walks over to a random table of a large group of people dining there that she didn't know at all. And she pretty much just sat down and started having conversation with them. So they're confused. The group is confused.
Anyone's going to be
confused.
Yeah,
I'd be like, what? At first, they thought that she was maybe a staff member. But as she kept speaking, they were like, no, she's definitely not a staff member. And also, what is up? Like,
that's
something's
so
up
weird.
With her. Yeah, like, something's up. She was saying things that that she was late, but she had followed the signs to get here. She was talking about numbers again. She was talking about cracking a code. She was talking in riddles. And she was saying that there were voices talking to her. And one of the guests at the table even asked her, oh, you're hearing voices. Do you hear them now? And Maitrice allegedly replied saying, oh, yeah.
Is this Agent 47?
No, what is that? I've never heard of that.
Hitman, the video game.
Why does it start like this?
No, but he more or less can hear things, and it's because the people. It almost sounds even like I think his name's Enzo. I can't think of his actual name.
Is that
name.
The guy that's faceless?
Hitman? No, Hitman's not faceless.
Oh, who's
he's
the guy
bald
that's faceless?
And he's got a barcode on the back of his head.
Does he have Matrix like sunglasses?
No.
Wow, I think I'm mixing up five different characters into
just,
one character.
Yeah, this guy.
You're
just
like
dresses
this guy just looks
suits.
Like Vin Diesel.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've never heard
it
of him.
It's also almost given me Assassin's Creed, because Assassin's Creed, he can go back into the future, and that's how part of the game is.
Wow, interesting. Okay.
And people are talking to him through it, saying, because he essentially is helping alter history.
Okay, that's interesting. No, I'm going to have to look into that. I've never heard of that. Is it a game or a movie?
Well, Assassin's Creed is a huge...
No, I know the game. I've played one of the games
Hitman
before,
is
yes.
also a series, and it's a pretty large series.
Well, that I've never...
I think there's
yeah.
three or four of them.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
It's amazing.
Well, to answer your question, no, she's not a Hitman. And she's not Agent 2147, which one you said. They even speak out on the ABC News interview, which, by the way, I'm going to link it, and obviously in the sources as usual. And go check it out, because it is very... It's like a documentary. It's like 45 minutes that they made. It's really, really informational. But they even go on there and they said that they didn't feel threatened by her at all. Like, she wasn't acting at all with any type of malice. Yeah. And she wasn't
she's
drunk.
She's just saying weird shit.
Yeah, she's just coming to hang out. But they said that they could tell something was off mentally by the interactions with her. I mean,
okay,
as you saw.
Obviously.
Yeah. And to me, to be honest, because I always try to put myself in other people's shoes in these type of situations. I feel if I was sitting at a table with friends... Would I find that weird that somebody I don't know come and sit at the table? Yes. But my immediate thought would be, oh, maybe she's either having a rough day or she's lonely, or because you never know what anyone's going through.
Yeah.
So sometimes you never want to just assume negativity. You always want to assume positive intent.
Yes.
And I mean, you could tell with them, they're already stating like, oh, she's not acting weird. And they were fine with her staying at the table. They're just like, okay, I mean, strange, but... Seems like,
okay.
Yeah, seems
whatever.
Like something's off. So eventually, Maitrice tries to end up leaving without paying her bill. And obviously, that's going to flag the staffers and the manager and all that. That's when the hostess, Caroline, stopped her. And Maitrice responded, you know, I don't have to worry about my meal, Caroline. God told me it would be taken care of. And with the language of numbers, it just makes sense.
What?
Yeah.
You know what? Next time we go out to eat... I'm gonna try
that's
that.
Good. You're going to use that one? Well, she ended up adding something about her being at work today and watching a soap opera come on where the actress does her thing, and that she just knew she had a drive here. So a lot of
that's
things just
so
aren't
weird.
Making sense or really strange and erratic behavior. Caroline and the restaurant manager were trying to help her, like, hey,
yeah,
where is there anyone we could call to help you pay this bill?
Like, yeah, do you have a mom?
Yeah, they
a
even
dad?
Right. They
Who
even
can
asked her,
"Come get you."
Where's your wallet? Where's your phone? You know, like, and because she said that her wallet was in the car, so somebody went out to the car to try to get her wallet. They couldn't find it, so that's why they ended up asking her, like, "Do you know anybody that we can call that can come and pay
that's
your bill?"
That's so weird, man.
It's acting really strange. So Maitrice ended up saying that she didn't have her phone on her, but she remembered only one number: her 91-year-old great grandmother's. Phone number, Mildred.
That's got Alzheimer's.
That's all.
Great.
Well, listen. Now, when they call Mildred, okay, Mildred ends up saying that she can't come get her because it's too far. I mean, she's also older.
Yeah.
But she was very concerned about Maitrice and asked if she could pay for the bill over the phone. But unfortunately, the restaurant couldn't take card over the phone because they would need her to be there to sign.
I was going to say, this is still 2009.
Yeah. So, because I know now I can make a phone call to order food and easily get.
Yes.
Right.
So, most places you could do it.
Yeah. But now. Right. Exactly.
This is when they still had the swiper cards. Everyone took checks.
Yes. That's very true. Yeah, tap to pay was not a thing.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
Gotta get rid of your checks, Dad.
At that point, Caroline and some staff members started to consider, hey, how about we all just chip in and pay the bill
and
for
just
her?
Just take care of her.
She seems to be having a day.
Clearly she's going through something. Something's Let's just happening. Help her out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the concern was raised by someone on the staff that if something was truly wrong with her, paying her bill and then just letting her go might not be the safest bet either.
Yeah, because they're...
Because of how she's been behaving, right? And they don't know exactly what's going on. So they... They just
everyone's kind of confused as to how can they best help her.
Right. And they're and they start thinking if we pay for the bill and she gets on the road and something happens to her, damn, that's on us.
Yeah.
Like maybe we need to get her some help. So they all ended up agreeing that the safest route to do was to call the police and have them help her.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm calling from Joffrey's restaurant in Malibu. Yeah. We have a guest here who is refusing to pay her bill and we think she may she sounds really crazy. She may be on drugs or something. We were wondering if someone could come by and pick her up.
Now, deputies from the Lost Hills Sheriff Station is located about 10 miles inland. They arrive at Joffrey's shortly after 9 p.m. Maitreese, again, she's still calm. She's compliant the whole time. She's there. She's not being aggressive.
Because she's not being weird in that sense.
She's
she's saying weird stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just acting off. She even ends up passing the field sobriety test. So she's not drunk, technically, based
on
this test.
She's not drunk, not on anything.
Nothing. Now, she wasn't carrying any type of weapons on her, but they ended up having to search her car, and they find a small amount of marijuana that I think they said it was like less than an ounce, which I thought was super interesting because, I mean, who cares? Because it's California.
Yeah.
But again, there's different laws.
I mean, this is still 2009. This is back when...
I don't even know if it was legal then.
No.
Maybe it still was,
but
there was
still... I want to say Colorado was probably the only,
there's
only
still a
state
lot of,
that was somewhat maybe close.
And I'm thinking, too, there's probably also a lot of other red tape that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But she ends up telling officers that she, you know, she didn't have her wallet, even though she'd said earlier to the staff that she might have it in the car. And she didn't. Now, to this day, it's really unclear whether where the hell it was. Maybe if she forgot it or if it was there at all, there's really nothing. We just know that's all we really know about this whole wallet situation, right? But she didn't have any way to pay for her $89 bill, okay? She actually calls her grandma Mildred, nothing. According to the restaurant manager, he said that the deputies explained that the only way that they could take her in was if it was a citizen's arrest. And the staff agreed because they thought, you know what, this is the only way to help her. They'll probably be able to get her more help than we can here.
Yeah. And clearly she needs something.
Something's going on. Somebody needs to intervene. Yes. And they thought this was the best route. Like they just to help her. Now, Maitreese was arrested for defrauding an innkeeper, which is a misdemeanor. It's charge for non-payment on any type of services or goods received, hence the dinner and the drink. And she was arrested for marijuana possession, okay, which is also a misdemeanor, which, like I said, I thought was crazy, but whatever. So they ended up arresting her, and they assure the restaurant staff, because they all made it clear, like, oh, you're going to get her help. Like, she's not acting great. You know, something's going on there. And they all
They basically said, we don't want her arrested just to arrest her for this.
Right. Like, this has
nothing. We want her getting help.
Right. Exactly. So they took her to the Lost Hills station in Malibu. It was now close to 11 p.m. Okay. Another thing that I got to mention is that they also impounded her car when this happened. So everything that she owns is inside her car, her phone, her keys, whatever else that she had in the car, everything, maybe even the wallet was in there. It's in there. Okay. They towed it away. So she doesn't have any of her belongings with her when they take her to the police station, just the clothes on her back at this point.
Yeah.
At home, Maitreese's mother, while this is all happening, Latisse had just learned what happened. She called the Lost Hill station that night, hoping to get some clarity.
I am calling. I'm a little frazzled right now. I understand my daughter is being brought into the station. My Maitreese Richardson
have they made it to the station yet, and she's been booked.
The only place we have somebody that's in custody that they just announced on the radio that they're coming up is from Joffrey's in Pacific Highway. It's okay. The only female that's being brought up to the station as we speak. They actually just put on the radio right before you called.
Okay. I'm her mother. Oh, okay. And are you guys going to book her and then release her on her own recognizance tonight? Because it's dark. She doesn't have a car, and I don't want her wandering out. I'm totally just taken aback because this is so out of character for her. Yeah. And you'll see when she comes in, she's well-spoken. I think the only way I will come and get her tonight is if you guys are going to release her tonight. If going to be held in custody for some type of arraignment tomorrow, then I will wait until tomorrow. She definitely has no place, you know, I mean, she's not from that area, and I would hate to wake up to a morning report. Lost somewhere with her head chopped off, so I guess I would have to come and get her. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was told that Maitrice would most likely be held overnight, and Latisse was planning on picking her up in the morning.
Yeah.
And she even asked them, like, I'd actually rather her stay there because I would feel safer. She's going to be at the police station.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it's super late, too.
Yeah, where else is she going to go? I'll just pick her up in the morning. I also was reading that she had a much younger daughter that was sleeping, so she also was
that
like, you know, I don't want to have to wake her up to take her. If they could just hold her overnight, then I'll just pick her up in the morning. Yeah. Not a big deal. So this was around 11 o'clock, okay? Now, around 12:28, Maitrice was released.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She had no phone. She had no wallet. She had no money. She had no ID. She had no transportation. Her car had been impounded.
This is not great.
She's not from this area. We're talking we're miles and miles from where she lives, right?
So literally, we have a police station that said, no, we'll keep her overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And you already had a mother that called to check in. And you even told her, no, don't worry about it. You can come get her tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. So you might be mad.
Oh, man.
She has obviously no way to contact anyone and doesn't know this area. Now, the jailer that night described that Maitrice appeared to be fine to her. There was no visible signs of mental illness. She didn't seem to be acting erratic or anything. And they actually offered Maitrice the option to stay at the station in the cell until the morning. But allegedly, Maitrice said that she declined and walked out into the darkness alone.
Okay. Which, why give her the option? But it's okay.
Right. Now, one thing that I want to mention, I'm going to mention now, I might even talk about it again later. The department later even said that she did not meet the criteria for a 5150, which is a psychiatric hold.
Mm-hmm.
And in the California law that allows someone to be held for mental health evaluation if they're showing three things. Either a danger to themselves, a danger to others, or gravely disabled due to the mental disorder, right? So according to the deputies, Maitrice...
I mean, she wasn't showing any of those signs.
She's not meeting those signs, right? But she is acting really strange. And you're making the citizen arrest because the staff is telling you that she's acting odd. So I don't know. That's just something I got to note, okay? Now, hours later, Maitrice gets let out around, you know, almost 1 a.m. Hours later, at 5:35 a.m., this is hours later.
Yes.
Latisse, her mother, called the station again to check on her daughter, expecting that she's going to probably still be asleep in the holding cell. But instead, she was told that Maitrice had been released five hours earlier. Mm-hmm. And that her daughter was gone and was not at the station.
Hey, guess what? We don't know where the hell your daughter is. We do still have her car, though.
Roughly 6 hours after she was released, so now we're talking around like 6:30 a.m., almost 7, a homeowner named Bill Smith called the police. Bill and his wife Karen lived in Montanito. It's a very wooded residential area, and it's about 5.5 miles from the Lost Hills station.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking far.
Yeah, hi. Hey, this is Smith at Cold Canyon. We had a prowler walking around through the backyard here.
What's she look like? White, black, Hispanic?
You know, a tall, slim black woman with afro hair, very skinny. I think she was wearing maybe jeans or tight pants with a t-shirt.
Karen Smith spoke with us by phone.
And I saw somebody sitting on the top step of the 6 railroad ties that we have in the backyard. I called down and said, are you okay? And the answer was, yes, I'm just resting. And by the time we went around to the other window, she was gone.
I mean, I would be resting too if I had just walked five fucking miles.
Yeah. So, and they even described that the way that she was just sitting, and it looked kind of like she was meditating almost.
Okay.
She's just there. And also, we have to keep in mind, okay, because Bill and Karen's house is in Montanito. It's such a wooded area that it would be so freaking strange if you did find some. I mean, we were talking acres. Like, homes are not right next to each other.
Yeah.
They're a bit ways away.
Is this more up in the mountain or
Down, it's more in the areas. Yeah, more up in the mountains. Like, it's very forested, very more in that sense, okay? And you see her, that's her mugshot photo that they took that night. She looks, I don't know, compared to the photo next to her.
She looks a bit disheveled.
Yeah, like something's up, right? Yeah. She looks like she's not there. Something's just, I don't know. That's just something I wanted to note, because even looking at the photo, she looks exhausted. She also
her eyebrows don't look as done as they do in the other photo. She has bags under her eyes, looking like she's tired. Yeah,
and I mean, this
she looks like she's been through some shit.
Right, and if you think about it, she's this beauty queen. She takes really good care of herself. She, you know, so she looks a bit odd than usual. And I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes,
I mean,
we're not going to be fucking perfect all the time, but
she didn't even spend a night in jail. Right, I would get this if this was her mugshot, say a day into being in custody or something, but this is not the case.
By the time that the cops arrived to Bill and Karen's house and they go to check the area, she was gone. No, not there anymore. Okay.
Okay.
Now, it's not clear how thoroughly they searched that morning, because dogs weren't brought in and there wasn't a coordinated manhunt to see if she's there. She had just pretty much vanished in the surrounding hills. So no one would report to seeing Maitrece ever again.
Okay.
Now, as the hours
hold the fuck up. You said ever again.
As the hours turned into days, her family became increasingly alarmed. I mean, imagine if it were your daughter.
Where
the hell is she at? They were told that she had refused to stay the night, that she had seemed fine. But when Latisse asked the deputies to search the area where that she had been seen last, it didn't seem like anyone really took it that seriously.
Of course not. Right, why are they going to give shit?
Yeah. They're like, well, she left. She was fine. Why is
she's
that
an adult. It's not our issue.
Exactly. Which I think it's a big, big issue here, too, that they also saw it as she probably just, which to me, I'm like, she's acting strange. Just listen, right?
You had a...
And she doesn't know, and Latisse said this, she knows her daughter. Her daughter doesn't know Malibu. They are not from there. She doesn't have any of her belongings on there. The police should be a lot more worried right now, because she is out on her own. And they were just with her, even though they said that she was acting fine. Now, that's when inconsistencies start piling up.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Here we go. The family says that they asked if there was any video surveillance from the Lost Hill station that night.
I bet not.
Well, they were told no.
Huh. Hmm.
They said that no such footage existed.
You know what? Funny thing. Our cameras between the times that she was here.
Strange. It's not there. It's just
not
there.
Those couple hours of footage is gone.
And they have.
I don't even have a record of her being here.
The family even talks like they had been asking for footage over and over. They're like, there has to be something, guys. Like, come on. But they just kept saying, no. We don't have anything. Footage from that night does not exist. Yeah.
So full of shit.
So 4 months later, after she disappeared, that statement actually changed. The department suddenly acknowledged that they did have video of that night all along.
What do you know?
Mm-hmm. And the tape showed Maitrece. And in the tape, it actually shows Maitrece pacing back and forth. She's kind of fidgety. She also appears kind of disoriented and anxious, because she's in the video and she's in one of the holding cells, like the rooms. And she's kind of like moving back and forth. Like, she's, like, moving back and forth.
Huh.
And to me, it's, like, it seemed almost as if she was soothing herself, because that's how it looks like.
Like, anxiety, similar to that.
And she's not still. She's just moving. She would also be sitting still for several minutes, and then she would get up and walk around from the door. Now, to me, again, I also see it as that's acting weird, because we know what we know.
Yes.
But then I also feel... The police also might have seen this very often with a lot of other type of... But again, I don't know. Yeah. I do find it weird, because at this point, you need to listen to what everyone's telling you about.
Exactly. Right. I feel like that's it would have raised flags as if I worked in...
Probably the worst thing to drink right now.
I feel like it would have raised flag, especially when it's empty.
I know. I was about to do this.
You were already doing it. I could hear That's why I stopped.
All right. I stopped.
I feel like it would have already raised flags if you're working in a police station.
Mm-hmm.
You have... a restaurant that calls you
right.
for somebody that's acting strange.
Right.
Yes. She didn't pay her bill, but they straight up tell you, look, she needs help.
Yeah.
This is out of the ordinary.
Right.
We can tell something's off about her.
Right.
We don't know who she is, but this is weird.
Yeah.
Are you going to take care of her?
Yeah.
Yes. Mother calls you guys as she's being transported to right. the station, tells you, this is strange to me. This is out of the ordinary for
Are you,
her.
You hold her for the
Are
night.
Are you going to hold her for the night?
Yep, no problem.
Otherwise, I'll come and get her tonight. Please just let me know.
Yeah.
No, we're going to hold her for the night.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time, you've had now one whole restaurant.
Right.
And then to her own mother call right, you calling. And say, this is out of the ordinary for her. Not sure why she's acting this way.
Right. And her grandmother too, Mildred.
And her
she
grandmother.
Was saying, like, she's acting really strange.
Yes.
This is very out of character.
But her grandmother also spoke with the restaurant.
Right,
not the
exactly.
police station.
No, but that just
still,
adds to
yes.
it. Yeah.
And then you still say, no, everything's fine.
Right.
Let's let her out. But then you see her pacing.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, you lose the footage. You don't have the footage.
But then you have it four months later. Yeah.
And,
that's weird.
And you're telling me those 4 months
that's
you were
sketch.
Looking for that footage?
Yeah, that's sketch
no.
as hell. That's so
no.
sketch. I also feel why lie? That's weird. Why lie, you fucking weirdo?
Because
weird.
They got to cover their ass.
Something. Right. Exactly. And we're going to get into it. Roughly 2 minutes later, the video actually shows someone else exiting the station. It was another police officer. So she exits the station. It's nighttime. And then 2 minutes later, another police officer exits the station as well. They ended up questioning that too. They're like, but the department ended up saying that the police leave that cop leaving at that time is unrelated. And it was just a coincidence. And he just so happened to be leaving at the same time. Right. But
okay.
it is fucking
okay.
weird because you're already lying about this.
It is. It is
it's strange,
we'll,
right?
We'll see what.
Yeah. You're like, you know what? I don't want to draw conclusions until we get all the facts, all the answers.
Let's just dive more into the facts.
Now, the fact, obviously, with him exiting, it's already showing you one. They hit the fact that they had footage. It's showing the family and everybody more mistrust in the system.
100%.
Why the fuck would I trust you with all this shit going on? Because you guys are acting fucking sketchy.
Yep.
Now, why did they say that the footage didn't exist? Why did it take 4 months to admit it was there? You know, why were they
all
holding
great
back?
Questions.
Great questions. A lot of great questions. Now, the sheriff's department actually offered no type of solid explanation. And
fucking expect that.
Of course not. They're not. They don't want any fucking heat up their ass. The rumors started to circulate that could she still be in the area? Had she been abducted? Was she hiding? Did this happen for real? You know, where is she? And a lot of people who were searching for her family, there was people out there. I mean, this is news coverage. Like, everyone's talking about it. Where the hell is my trees? There were a lot of searchers that were worried about wild animals around the area and the rough terrain because she was seen in Montanito around that very wooded forested area.
Yeah.
Also, if you think about it, she walked 5.5 miles and she ended up in Bill and Karen's backyard.
Yeah.
That's insane. She's been
it's
walking
very insane.
Six hours later. That's insane. That's insane. Searchers were really scared about wild animals there. And I'm like, okay, what kind of wild animals are there in California? Because I know they're a lot more vicious
yeah.
than here.
Yeah.
So I read and it said that she could have, that area could be encountering coyotes, bobcats, mountain lions, snakes, including rattlesnakes.
You know, we have like all those animals here too, right?
I mean, I don't know. To me, the East Coast is different from in my head, but and also black bears.
We
don't have bobcats.
We have some type of cat.
We have like bears. Mountain lions, we don't have mountain lions.
I think we have mountain lions. Carolina panthers.
Yeah, that's a mascot.
You're gonna have to look it up.
You're gonna blow my mind. All right, look it up. I'm about to get schooled right now. Yeah, in my head, I feel that
it's a cougar. Also known as a cougar, a puma, or a mountain lion. Oh, wait, hold on.
A puma?
Hold on. Oh, yeah. Eastern cougar. The eastern cougar once roamed.
Imagine you're like 45-year-old divorced woman with three kids.
Oh, it's extinct. He's extinct.
Okay. Wow. That's kind of sad. Well, in my head on the East Coast, I think that the only wild animals we have are bears, deers, bald eagles, cute little snakes.
Oh, we do have a bobcat.
A bobcat? Where?
We just have bobcats.
Yeah, but does it say where you normally see them? Because northeast coast is different than southeast coast, right? You don't see alligators up in northeast coast.
North Carolina has bobcats found in various habits, typically only seen around dawn and dusk.
dawn and dusk. That's like what? That's when they tell you to go hiking. Yo, I'm shocked. I'm shooketh right now. That's wild.
Let's.
Oh, but it's so cute.
Oh, Lord.
You'd be in the wild. Come here, little kitty, kitty, kitty.
Oh, you sweet little thing. I didn't know they said dawn and dusk. I knew I was going to find you here. Wait, how big are they, though? Not us taking a side note just to learn about the wild animals in the East Coast. But just be careful, everybody. There's apparently bobcats.
15 to 30 pounds.
That's it? That's like scrappy size.
It says it's about... A bobcat is about double the size of a domestic cat.
Oh, that is the cutest little thing ever. I would not be able to take that seriously if I saw it in that. Okay, but
it's about the third of a size of a cougar.
Okay, but that just goes to show, right? In California, there are like five times the size of that.
We also have cottonmouths.
Right. I mean, there's snakes everywhere.
I'm just saying.
We get it. I know. I'm just saying this is what I'm thinking. And those are the type of wild animals in the Santa Monica Mountains, okay?
Okay.
So this is why the search teams were just being very cautious about venturing really deep into the ravines.
Yeah,
or,
they don't want to get got.
Especially at night, exactly. Now, others were starting to fear something darker, which I'm sure you probably were already thinking about this. You know, did she maybe meet...
Get abducted.
Encounter someone that kidnapped her? You know, maybe the morning that she left leaving the Smith's property. Who knows? They actually started bringing in cadaver dogs to start following her
scent. Trying to find her.
Yeah. And they actually followed a scent near down... into a nearby creek bed. And this path actually led directly into an area called Dark Canyon. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not, but it's also not good because...
Right.
Past a water, right?
Well, I don't know about that. Oh, you might be right actually about that. They can't. But I mean, but it's not good that they found her scent at all. These are cadaver dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is rough. That night, they let her off, right?
Yep.
That's the last time September. Now it's September 17th because it's the next morning. That's the last time they see her in the morning at Bill and Karen's house. It would take nearly 11 months before we hear about Maitrece again.
Holy shit.
So on August 9th, 2010, a team of rangers surveying marijuana grow sites in the Santa Monica Mountains stumbled across something very strange in the brush. Now, the reason I mentioned the marijuana grow pot plants, areas, whatever, is because authorities...
Farms,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Them growth plot plant parts.
Them growth plant part paths. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning that is because authorities actually had been monitoring the area for several illegal marijuana grow sites that were allegedly tied to the cartels. Now... Why the hell, if he's, this is where, to me, that just kind of paints you the picture exactly of where the rangers are, because if there's some type of grow, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Why is it that I can't say it? Marijuana farms. Okay. Yes. If you're planning on doing a marijuana farm, you're obviously going to want to go somewhere where it's kind of dangerous to get to. Somewhere nobody really hikes or walks around. Yeah, and somewhere where you're not going to be caught so easily, right? So we're talking deep into the mountains at this point.
Okay.
So they were searching a lot of the remote parts of Dark Canyon, which is so rugged and it's very steep, and it's actually not far from where Maitrece had been seen last. So that's pretty much kind of where Bill and Karen's house was. And it just kind of gives you another picture of the homes in Montanito, because... They're around more rugged terrain.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Now, I'm going to place a trigger warning here. I know, you're not happy about it.
Continue.
Beneath a pile of leaves and mulch, skeletal remains were found. They were Maitrece's.
You said it before. I could say, whose?
Maitrece's remains were found. They were naked and partially mummified.
What the fuck?
So she's been exposed to a dry environment for some time. Yes. So when they found her and she was partially mummified, she was also positioned in a way that was pretty disturbing, because her spinal cord and skull were detached from the rest of her remains.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Holy shit.
And her left arm was found to flex tightly over her chest like this.
Okay.
So imagine, what would you describe this for the listeners? Like, let's say you're doing a bicep curl. Yeah, you're doing a bicep curl all the way up to your shoulder, and it's just like
as if you're kind of going holding, into the like you're cold, almost yeah, like you're cold, cold and you're shivering,
and you're holding a and you're shivering. You put your arm close to your hand to your chest, literally just like that is exactly how she was found. And if she's being held that tightly, I mean, if her arm is that tightly and she's dead, she's found dead like that, and she's mummified. To me, that suggests that she was killed and placed there.
Yeah.
And she must have, I don't know, to me it also kind of suggests that she was wrapped.
I don't know.
Because why would your arm, that means you died like that. That means you died like that. And to have it that closely. Don't you get
stiffer? No, yeah,
after you die, you get stiffer.
That's just fucking weird.
Right. Her clothing, her belt, her bra, her jeans were found scattered hundreds of feet away down the ravine.
What the f-
Which to me also speculates, I don't think an animal would be doing that.
No.
Yeah, that just doesn't make no fucking sense.
Some bear comes by. Well, I'm going to just take your clothes off. I'm going to lay you off over here. I'm going to take your clothes.
Tighten your
put
arm.
Put your clothes down here. Oh, let's put your arm here.
Literally, exactly. Exactly. And also, it's something to note that there were no, from what I was reading, I mean, if anybody knows any other information, let us know. But from what I was reading, there was no type of evidence that any animals were on her bones or eating her or whatever on her body.
In other words, it was natural what?
Like it had no evidence of animals. Animals being on her. Exactly.
Natural meaning human.
One thing to mention is that some months after she went missing, this exact area was supposedly searched before. So why would
get the fuck out?
Right. So why was her body not found before then?
Well, wait. It was mummified.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So maybe somebody was keeping her.
That's what I'm saying.
Yo, this is so weird, though.
It's so strange, right?
Some taxidermy dude or some shit?
That would be weird. That would be strange. Why do you think every time we pass by the mountains, I always, what is my go-to question or comment every time?
I wonder how many dead bodies are in there. Exactly. Even last night. Yeah, we're trying to drive, just hang out.
Yeah, so even last night, because every time I'm in a big wooded area, like a forest.
It makes sense.
What
are you going to do when the day comes that we buy a big old plot of land in Montana just for the hell of it?
Dude, I'm going everywhere with a gun. Yo, I'm going to be like, wrong bitch, motherfucker. You on my land. But that's just me, though.
Well, first you got to learn how to ride a horse.
Yeah, I got to do a lot of things if we're buying a plot of land. It seems very freeing, but I've got a lot to learn. But it just feeds to the point that is... It's weird, right? So that just kind of speculates.
It's very weird.
It's strange, especially when when I first was learning about the case, I was like,
odd. It's the mummified part is what keeps hooking me up on it.
I know that. Yes, that's
because
what kills
the clothes
me.
Separate from the body. That just sounds
weird,
like,
but okay.
Unfortunately, that sounds like a killed her, sexually assaulted her, and then basically got rid of the body.
Right, right. That's what it screams. Exactly. Yeah. And also the fact that her spinal cord was
that part's
crazy.
Fucking wild.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. That's
that
just
and the
crazy.
Mummified part. Weird.
Yeah.
Fucking weird.
It's just weird. It doesn't
sit right. It's very awkward.
Yeah.
It's
hard to explain.
And awkward in the sense of exactly. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
If somebody
Why?
Else can explain it, that'd be great. Like if there's a professional out there.
Somebody just randomly says, so E equals MC squared, and based off of that, the spinal cord detaches at this rate.
Well, worse still is that when the remains were discovered, the coroner wasn't called immediately.
Why? Why is this a reoccurring thing?
Well, I know, when it comes to
cases.
Hey,
we got a dead body. Okay, we'll just send some cops up there.
Yeah, even though the first thing, remember what we learned from
the
Kendrick Johnson.
Coroner.
The Kendrick Johnson case, we learned that you're supposed to call the coroner, because according to the law, when human remains are found, especially particularly in a suspicious and unexplained circumstance and manner, nothing should be moved or touched until the coroner arrives on site.
If we ever come across a dead body, I'm not calling the cops. I'm calling a coroner's office immediately.
I think
you
still got to call the cops.
Well, I'll call the coroner's office first.
Yeah,
then I'll call the cops.
Be like, yeah, the coroner's
on his way. Hey, don't worry. Coroner's on his way, but send somebody else.
Right, because the coroner or medical examiner must be called and must oversee the scene. Removing any type of evidence prior before they arrive is a violation of protocol. Okay. Later in the day, on August 9th, 2010, park rangers alerted the sheriff's Air 5 helicopter to her remains. So the detectives ended up saying, hey, listen, we're planning on returning in the morning to pick up her, to, you know, we'll do this whole thing in the morning to get her remains. And we're just going to preserve the scene right now because it's getting dark and they're worried about the wildlife. And you have to think about, you can move forward now to the next, where you get to the maps. You can see on these maps that I'm showing you where her body is being located. We're talking in the mountains.
Yeah.
This is a rough terrain. Okay. So now they're, they're like, it's getting dark. They're worried about the wildlife. What, we're going to come back in the morning. But guess what? Hours later, after they stated that, they actually decided to change course in the helicopter and go to remove her remains that night instead of in the morning. Yes.
Why?
That's weird, right?
That's so
weird.
It's
strange. Like they had planned and they told everybody, hey, we're coming in the morning. But then they ended up just going anyways that night and airlifting her remains to the station, which this decision, based off of the sheriff and the deputies, completely bypasses the coroner's supervision and the whole point of the coroner needs to be there first entirely. Why are you picking up the remains?
And part of me wonders if, because this is also, I'm looking at where the police station is and it's near Calabasas. Calabasas is also where a lot of celebrities live. Part of me wonders if they don't ever see murder scenes that
yeah,
were,
but
and maybe that's why they just handled it so freaking poorly.
Yeah.
Because I've driven through that area. It's a very fancy area.
But I get what you're saying too. But my thing is like, it's, you have, the coroner needs to be called. Like, you know, yes. This. And this has already been stated. You know this.
But you still skipped
You're
over
still
it.
Skipping that step. And that's a major step.
And that also gives a violation. That also raises a red flag in that aspect.
Why are you in such a rush to pick up the remains if the coroner's not even there yet?
But that's also where I think, is it a rush because they are worried that, oh, the longer we have this body out here, then all of a sudden news helicopters, and now all of a sudden we have a bunch of people that are saying, horrible. Well, why are you guys not protecting our neighborhoods?
But that's my thing. Even if that is the thing, that's terrible. Fuck you. That's horrible.
Don't try to cover something up that tragic and happened in your
also,
area.
I think another thing I kept thinking about is that they wanted to just remove the remains so they could control the situation, because in reality, they were at fault for letting her go. Yes. And not really, and they were at fault for passing along the information for doing so. In reality, it's like a cover up in a sense, because they don't want to look bad.
Because they were also concerned about wildlife. Do you think they could have also been concerned that what do we do if a bear comes in the middle of the night and just sees the body and says, this could hold me over for a couple months.
I mean, it could, but her body, like, not all her, here we go. Because the coroner's office, when they end up getting the remains from the police, they end up discovering significant problems with how they recovered the remains. This is why a coroner's going to be there to do that. So they actually missed, the police, when they went to go get it, they actually missed several bones, including smaller fragments, because deputies moved the remains themselves. They also lost the precise location data of where the remains were. So the info,
you didn't mark it?
That's what I mean. It's not making sense. It's strange.
Even if you were in a rush to move it for wildlife.
And why in a rush though?
Keep, I know.
Like,
but
preserve the area and just do the best you can in the morning.
But whether or not you're trying to keep the community calm, keep her protected, her body protected from wildlife,
right,
potentially disturbing
the cases.
Why wouldn't you have marked the scene?
So apparently they did, but then they lost the data, or they pinpointed the data. It was one of those, because the info was connected to the GPS or like the photo logs or whatnot.
It's called flags, my guy.
So, right, exactly. So this meant that the coroner would have to go back and return and do several more trips to recover
Wonderful.
More bones, right? To
Fucking
figure
love
out.
It.
Right, so this is already really strange. And at this point, it's also screaming to me, poor police work.
Yes.
Like, my guy.
Work is awful right
now. Yeah, and I also don't want to assume, I don't like assuming that every police has bad, ill intention. But my God, this is like the perfect picture of what the hell is going on. Why are we not following A, B, C, D in order? In July 2011, so roughly, 11 months later from when they found her body, her mother, Latisse, Maitrice's aunt, and a family friend, and there was somebody else there too. You can move forward and see the photo. They ended up hiking to where she was found, where her body was found, because Latisse, her mother, said that she had to go and do something to memorialize her daughter
it's a tragic fucking loss.
It's so tragic, and they wanted to see, where she had passed and honor her in a way, because she ended up dying alone in the woods. She died alone in the woods, which is sad. While they were there, they actually found something in the dirt that the investigators had completely missed.
Oh, we love this.
And remember, this is 11 months later after her body was found. And supposedly they had collected all her remains, yep. Right? They found a finger bone left behind in the dirt.
Damn.
So obviously they call immediately to inform the police, and the coroner's office had to return back to the site and ended up recovering 9 more bones.
Holy shit.
That were initially overlooked. Yep. And at this point, I'm like, as a coroner, what is up with y'all? Why can't we just...
Exactly, because as a coroner, you know how many bones should be there.
But, okay, here's my other thing, too. I also try to see it as, this is a very rugged terrain, I get it, but how is it that they came to hike?
That's true, just and then to they memorialize? Just randomly gone...
Yeah, to me, it's like, did we try? How are we... I wish we could have seen more information about that, because it's really... It's just pointing to a lot of missteps.
The only thing that you could think of is maybe leaves were covering it and they just unlucky. I don't know.
It just doesn't
make sense. Right. A lot of this isn't adding up.
Right. And it also gives me the vibe of what else can go wrong? What else could we do to just not find out what happened
to her?
Exactly. Now, in the final report, Maitreese's cause of death was listed as undetermined, obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
We barely find any bones.
They can't tell if it was strangulation, if it was a gunshot wound, nothing.
Nobody. We don't know anything. Nothing. And on July 13th of 2011, just around 11 months after the discovery of her body, the family later hired an independent forensic anthropologist who concluded that the condition of her body and the position of her limbs did not suggest a natural death, right? So, they still can't say, they still couldn't find out what caused her death. But based off of all the circumstances and the evidence, they still were like, we don't know what happened, but it definitely wasn't natural. It definitely
wasn't. There's foul play. We just don't know what the foul play is.
They're convinced that some type of foul play happened. They just don't know what exactly that could be, right? And without that soft tissue or trauma to the body, there's nothing solid enough to change a ruling from undetermined to a cause of death.
Which makes sense.
Now, there were reports that talked about how the collarbone fragments and vertebrae fragments were among of the bones that they couldn't find. It's interesting from what I was reading, which science is just so very interesting and cool, because those bones are the bones that could also indicate and give you more clues about a case of death. Yeah.
Okay.
Of what kind of trauma. And I think the collarbone could have just, I think from what I was reading, don't crucify me, people, if I'm wrong here, please. But from what I was reading was that the collarbone could have suggested strangulation. It could have shown some type of clues or signs of something. Yeah. Of what? Give us more answers of what the hell happened.
Which obviously is interesting that's missing.
That's also missing.
They knew.
I know. And to me, I feel if, you know, because I don't, up to this point, it's hard to not have a theory or speculate that, man, was there some foul play going on by somebody who knew what they were doing?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these circumstances are just very strange, right? Just going hand in hand or acting very off. Now, there's no evidence of trauma, no clear indication of foul play. Her clothes were placed in a body bag, but the police apparently never tested it for forensic evidence, which is crazy.
Okay.
Because you should be...
Why?
Yeah, you should be testing every piece of evidence for forensic evidence.
Man.
It was sad when I watch this part of the ABC interview, because her mother and her aunt were in the interview as well, and they talk, her dad is in the interview talking, people who knew her. They actually, when they exhumed her body, because they paid for it, they also found that there was jewelry in her hair that was still tangled, and her family even reportedly said that jewelry did not belong to her.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it was really strange. And they even mentioned that they just never removed it from her hair. Her body was still dirty.
That's so freaking weird.
Yeah, it was covered in twigs, and her remains were never fully accounted for. So we don't even know.
It just feels so...
It feels poorly...
Poorly taken care of and managed and secured.
Logged, everything and all under the sun, Her family at this point they're believing that something terrible had happened to her. Her father had said that he believed that her daughter had been tortured, assaulted, killed, and then dumped there. Because he's like, this just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't add up,
It's not adding up. And from the Smith's house, where she was last seen, to the location to where her body was found, that's more than a mile long through rough terrain. So many people also believe that there's no way that she could have gotten there on her own. Could she have stumbled there? Maybe. But everything that's leading up to this, it's hard to start thinking that could be the only thing. Ultimately, no suspects were named. There was no evidence that was processed. No explanation was ever really given. Now, when the cops impounded Maitreza's car, remember, when they arrested her, they ended up finding her diary and journals in the car.
Okay.
Her diary and journal entries suggested that she had gone up to 5 days straight prior without sleeping.
Which kind of explains why she was acting weird.
Right. Possibly explaining that she was experiencing a manic or psychotic episode that day. Because also 5 days without sleeping, that'll do something.
Yeah.
And in the journal, in the diary, she was also referencing messages and numbers and breaking codes too. So same behavior she was saying. And they also, I think it was in that documentary that I watched, but they were talking about that when they were checking her phone logs, she had been on her phone for 5 days. So that's how they could also tell if she was, she wasn't sleeping for 5 days straight, because they could check her phone logs. They were checking her behavior, what she was doing digitally. I mean, digital footprint is insane because really,
especially at that time, that's wild.
Right. In 2011, her family actually filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the county, and they ended up settling. I think it was like almost up to $900,000. As a part of the settlement, the county admitted no wrongdoing. So, of course, they got to add that there. And Michael Richardson, which was Maitreza's dad, told the Times that, "In my eyes, as the father, I didn't receive justice. My daughter's killer is still out there." Because they still believe that there's something more to
110%.
This. Yeah, that nothing really makes any type of sense. There's a couple details that I'm going to mention right now, okay? But one that ends up coming to light after Maitreza was gone, long after she's gone. Remember when Latisse, her mother, makes a call to the police station the night she was arrested?
Mm-hmm.
The one you were even asking about, right? And she asked them, "Hey, can you keep my daughter there? Because she's not from there. She doesn't have anything on her. And just let me know and I'll come in the morning." Okay. The deputy who answered the call that night was finishing his shift. And according to the civil suit, he never passed that message along. So apparently that's why they didn't know.
So there's a breakdown in communication.
Right. So apparently that's why they didn't know, because he gets off shift. He doesn't tell anybody. And so she comes in, because this is all happening while she's being taken to the station. In the aftermath of all this, right, the California United States representative, I know you've heard of her, Maxine Waters.
Yes.
She ends up urging the FBI to take over the case, because she's also helping the family like spread the word. Something is going on here. That's weird. Well, the sheriff at the time, Lee Baca, refuses on TV, saying that they had it all taken care of. They're not going to take help from the FBI.
Oh, so he's too fucking prideful.
Exactly. And to me, it's also, what the hell? Like, what the hell? Just let them help, right? But
I also just don't get it, because it seems like every police station hates
The FBI gets involved,
gets involved, whether it's CIA, FBI, DEA.
Even in the shows. In the movies, they hate that.
FBI comes,
they're like, great. Because
then they lose, they do not have jurisdiction. Well, they still have jurisdiction, but they do not have ownership of the case.
Yeah, and it makes them look bad. They feel like it's a pride thing. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I'm sure there's other things going on there, okay? Don't crucify us, but I'm just saying from what we know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drop your pride.
Now, funny that you say that, because years later, that sheriff, Lee Baca, would actually end up serving time in federal prison, not for Maitreza's case, but for lying to the FBI during an unrelated investigation into abuse and corruption within the sheriff's department.
Oh, of course. A fucking course, buddy.
I know.
No wonder you didn't want them to get involved, because you knew they were already on your ass.
There's a lot going on there. And he ends up serving time in federal prison. I'm like, oof, ouch. Ouch. Now, since Maitreza's death, her family has fought for answers. I mean,
as they should,
because they really believe, like, I know there's a lot of theories out there, and we're going to get into theories, and a lot of people do believe that it was an accident. She must have just gotten there on her own. We'll talk more about it, but they're still fighting for answers. And now, because of what happened to Maitreza, there's actually a department-wide policy that was eventually implemented to prevent anyone from being released in the middle of the night without the option of remaining there until the morning. So this is just to kind of help, not another...
prevent another potential issue.
A potential Maitreese situation. Now, her mother, Latisse, actually went on to write a memoir. Wow. Why can't I say that?
You can do this.
I'm like, memoir. About the grief and the guilt and the unimaginable silence that she felt that her in her daughter's wake. So it's actually called Maitreese, A Mother's Journey from Despair to Desire. The cover is a beautiful photo of Maitreese. I'm going to link it to if anybody's interested in reading it. But she still struggles to this day with the question of, damn, I should have just driven out. Why did I put so much faith into the system? Why didn't I just wake up my daughter
because
and go pick her up?
You feel that you should have been able to have the faith. And they said she's going to be kept overnight. Plus, nobody wants to drive an hour to get told, hey, sorry,
especially if you have,
get back in your car, go home.
Yes. And she had her younger daughter. She was like, I'm going to wake her up. I got it. Yeah. There's a lot at play. And I mean, you hear, and it's sad because you hear in the police, what is it? In the 911 call that Latisse makes.
Yes.
And she says, you know, she's not from there. And I don't want to wake up in the morning and hear a phone call that, you know, a girl's found with her head cut off. I would be, that gave me goosebumps knowing exactly how she was found and there was no answers. And then to know that she was worried that would happen and that's exactly what happened.
And I'm sure she said that as a joke at the time because
I mean,
in her mind, she probably thought she'll get released. She'll give me a call.
Right.
Even if she does get released early, I'll get a phone call.
Right. Exactly.
And then nothing.
And I know some people probably say, well, it's not like the police station's job to babysit or whatnot, but it's also, you are also under oath to protect.
Yeah.
And if you, it's just weird. A lot of really
weird
stuff.
And you should know you're releasing somebody without any of her fucking belongings.
Yeah. That's the problem that gets me. She doesn't know where she's going. But again, like you said,
you didn't give her a call at all. You didn't offer, you didn't call anyone.
Right.
The least you could have done,
right?
Even if you were saying, hey, no matter what, we're sending you out.
Yeah.
Is there whether someone's here or not, we'll call the person we last spoke with.
Right. No, I get what you're saying.
Send you on your way.
I get exactly what you're saying. And I mean, she mentioned that the hardest part isn't just that Maitreese died, but that in her final moments, she was clearly all alone with no one who loves her, with her in the woods.
And
somewhere.
Of Neri, she probably didn't fucking know.
She doesn't know at all. You know, she's not even from there. Her father, Michael, says that he really wrestles with a lot of guilt from his own past because he, in his earlier life, he went to prison when he was much younger and he felt that Maitreese was taken from him as a payment to his past actions. So he kind of has a hard time disconnecting the two.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, because he feels like, damn, is it because I had such a shitty time? I had a shitty past that's why she was taken from me? And he even says, which, oh my God, it made me tear up. But he said, she was the one thing I did right and they took her from me. Oh.
That sucks.
I can't. That broke my heart. If Maitreese was alive today, she'd be in her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but she was 24 years old when she died. When everything was happening, she went missing and she died. Like she was 24 years old.
Fresh out of college, getting ready to start her career
and
everything.
You saw she had this beautiful life planned for her. She wanted to work with kids. Like it's just this whole...
Everything cut short.
Yeah, it's really sad. And her family believes that she may have suffered from... They admitted, they're like, she might have been suffering from an undiagnosed mental health disorder. They think it could possibly be bipolar disorder triggered by the sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
But mental illness, clearly, that's not a crime. That's not a crime at all. And it doesn't explain how Maitreese disappears under police custody and later was found scattered in the canyon. And to this day, her death remains unsolved.
Wonderful.
As of the most recent updates of this case that I saw, it was that as of August of 2024, LA County reestablished a $20,000 reward that they ended up, I think they ended up bringing it up to $25,000, encouraging anybody if they have, there's any other information. And in 2017, the California Attorney General concluded that there was insufficient evidence to pursue any type of other charges. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, which sucks. And that's where we're going to lead into theories. Okay.
Let's hit it.
All right. Theory one, mental health, maybe an accidental death. A lot of people believe that Maitreese was obviously having a mental health episode possibly, like I said, a manic or psychotic break, and she ended up wandering into the wilderness alone. I mean, we're talking 5.5 miles. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But she's wandering, okay? She was disoriented. She was confused and without food, water, or shelter. And sleep, she may have died from exposure, or maybe there was an accidental fall. Because after all, that night, her behavior was very bizarre, and she was referencing hearing voices.
Yeah.
She said talking about codes. She talked about numbers. She claimed that she was from Mars. She was talking about avenging Michael Jackson's death. But for many, I was noticing, like, not a lot of people believe that that's it. Like, that's the only theory, because the area that where she was found was nearly a mile from Bill and Karen's home. That was the last sighting of her. And it's so steep and remote and rocky that they believe, like, how could she have gotten there barefooted at night through the canyon?
Yeah.
You know, it just leads you to more questions. And then the fact that her clothes were found hundreds of feet away from her body.
Yeah.
The positioning of her arms.
You're telling me there's no foul play?
Yeah.
She just decided, you know what? I'm going to strip and then run into this weed farm.
Right. Or around there. Yes, literally. And it's... with her skull and spinal cord detached, like, that was crazy to me.
Oh, I forgot to add that part.
Yeah.
And I'm going to detach my skull and spine and then run headless.
Headless. Right. Exactly. So that's theory one. Okay. Now we're going to go into theory two, which we were mentioning it just now. Foul play by a stranger, right? Another theory suggests that maybe my trees cross paths with someone after leaving the Smith's property. Mm. Okay. And that's the person who harmed her.
I'm feeling this one.
Right. Maybe she wandered into the wrong person's home, or maybe she was picked up on the road.
Yeah.
Some even believe that she could have encountered either a local resident or a passerby or someone she mistook for help, or and instead the worst could have happened. Her remains were found buried under mulch and branches, and the clothes being away from where she was and her bones not fully recovered at first, second pass, all that. It just kind of shows that... I mean, I highly doubt an animal's going to come and attack her, even if that is the case, right? An animal comes and attacks her and then puts branches and mulch and covers her up.
Imagine.
And it's like, I want to... It's
a
my
squirrel.
Bad, girl.
Squirrels putting all
she
this
was
stuff.
Like, damn,
I
had
to protect this.
Yeah. You know, to me, it's just kind of strange.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No.
And then no one ever ends up seeing her after 6:30 a.m. that morning.
Yeah.
You know, because she had met... And it's crazy because there's this Reddit thread. I mean, there's a Reddit thread for anything, but there's a Reddit thread for unsolved cases. And there's a Reddit thread about this case, about my trees. And some people had said that there's a theory going around based off of this foul play that there was a local porn star owner, whatnot. He owned a home there.
Okay.
And nearby, somewhere
Again,
around there.
It's a very rich area.
Very rich area, yes. And there's been people seen coming and going and leaving and all that, right?
Okay.
This is what I'm taking from this Reddit thread. People had speculated, could she have stumbled there? Could she have been taken, maybe not trafficked, but she could have been taken for something. Maybe something didn't go right. We're talking
and
maybe they're filming porn there.
I see what you're saying.
And then the way she was found, I don't know. That to me, I was like, damn, I don't know about that, but that's interesting. Okay, that's very interesting. That there's really no credibility behind that.
I was
going to
say, people, some of the theories, people could just,
spinning.
She winked once, and that means this, which means this, which then goes to Illuminati. What?
I know. I agree. But and to me, I'm like, well, sometimes you kind of need it. Sometimes you kind of need people like that. But also sometimes it does. I agree with you. It gets excessive.
It gets a little stretched.
Yeah, it gets stretched out. I totally get it. So that's theory two, is a foul play. Now, theory three is law enforcement cover up, because obviously there's a lot going on that we notice after they release her.
Mm-hmm.
They see the police officer came out. Some people even speculate, did that police officer, could he been like, hey, let me offer you a ride? And he was the reason. And then the whole cover up, who knows, right? Because again, why didn't the family tell her? Why didn't they tell the family about the surveillance footage, only to reveal months later that it did exist? You know,
why did the sheriff go to jail years later?
Right. Why wasn't the coroner called when the remains were found?
Very interesting.
Right. Right. Why?
And why is the head? I will say that one also kind of does make sense, because again, unless it's a brutal murder.
Right.
Who would have thought, besides someone that knows what parts of a body can help detect and determine the cause of death?
Yeah.
Why would the neck, the spinal cord, collarbone slash head, or whatever,
vertebrae or something,
all just be gone?
I know. Out of all the,
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's weird.
It's weird.
It's really weird, and it doesn't help. And to me, I also feel maybe it wasn't that police officer. Maybe the reason why they're acting this way is because they know that they're going to shit on.
They know that they're going to look like...
They're going to be like, we did a shitty job.
Who else knows that this could do this?
And, right.
Well, you guys didn't do this, and so no matter what, they're going to have bad
PR. Yeah, and to me, I feel that they wanted to stop the bad PR.
Yes.
I mean, based off of this theory, it could be that they didn't want any more bad PR. They didn't want PR, which another thing to know is that the crazy part about this theory, too, that they were stating, because actually Mel Gibson was arrested and taken to that station that in 2006 at some point for a DUI, and he was also saying some racist remarks. And there's actual reports that the police drove him personally back home, I think it was, or back to his car or something. So they're like, why do you do this for Mel Gibson, but you didn't do this for my Trees Richardson? Yeah. So that just plays in hand, too, with the police. Like, you're right. And also imagine you're a cop that's like, yo, I'm driving Mel Gibson home.
I mean, that would kind of be dope.
Right. No, I get it. But it's like that just kind of proves a point that they didn't take her seriously or they didn't because whatever. So that is theory three. Now, theory four.
Oh, we got a fourth.
Baby, we got a couple because some of them kind of make sense.
Okay.
Now, theory four is the whole illegal grow operation and cartel, right? Could she have stumbled into something that she wasn't supposed to and she got...
Nah, they would have never found that body.
I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point. But that,
sorry, cartel knows how to hide shit.
But that's why that's one of the theories is that nothing even connects to cartel or the farm. But they were saying, well, we know plus, that area offense, is known.
No offense. They're just growing weed.
Yeah. They're like, dude, girl.
I'm sorry, but they would have literally just told her, hey, get the fuck on.
Right. Now, the next theory is just... death by suicide. They feel like she must have just done this to herself, that after her being in this disassociative state, experiences psychosis, she could have intentionally...
I could see this one.
I mean, I could see it, but... And they do agree.
I think about what she said about, God said he'll take care of this.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, like, I don't have to worry about this. I mean,
That could have been a, here's your last supper thought or some shit like that.
And where she just walked... into there. Yeah. And then she. Right.
Yep. Almost as if she not knew the area, but at least saw the mountains and just kind of continued to walk towards it.
That's a good point, because remember, the only reason she went to Joffrey's was because she was attracted to the lights.
Yes.
And she was like, I just feels like I need to go there.
Exactly.
So, that could be it, especially if she's in this psychosis.
Still doesn't add up on the.
Yeah. A lot of the other
things. Missing of.
The fact that they forget where her remains are.
Well, yes.
The botched investigation.
The missing vertebrae and all that shit.
Yeah,
that's a little weird.
Well, that to me, it's like, I also feel odd because, what a coincidence. But also,
unless she built like a fucking catapult to hang herself and it just launched her fucking vertebrae and head.
But that's why they built, in that theory, they believe that she pretty much went there and lay down and died. But that doesn't add up to everything else.
But again,
we don't
why
know.
Why do you take your...
We don't know.
Why would she have taken her clothes off to die naked?
That's my thing. And if the animals were there, I highly doubt the animals are like, all right, let me fold this for you. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's weird. And that's just why it doesn't add up.
And that correlates with the last theory of it was just accidental fall, environmental death kind of thing, right? Because, I mean, this might be just the simplest of theories, perhaps probably very incomplete type of theory, but... they think she was probably lost. She was scared. She was confused. And she wandered into the hills where she fell and succumbed to the elements. And she died of natural causes.
It sucks because I feel like none of the theories...
I feel like it's a little bit
of can lean 100% towards.
I know.
None of them.
It's sad because we'll never know what happened to her.
Yeah.
We'll never know what happened to her. Family will never get that type of closure or understanding of what exactly happened to her. You know, and it's just like...
All they know is that they don't have a daughter now.
Yeah. Their daughter's gone. And you can, if you keep going, you'll see
the memorial.
Yeah. And that's her father's car.
That actually is fucking awesome.
Yeah. He got her face painted, like a whole thing on the hood of his car. It was really cool. So what are you thinking? Well, what do you think of this case? Because this case was so sad.
This case is sad. It's insane. Also seeing the area. I know initially I don't know why I was thinking Malibu. I got Malibu and Laguna, thought that they were like right next to each other, but Laguna is south side of LA.
Laguna Beach.
And Malibu is up on the north, like, northwest side of LA.
Yeah.
I think I can see how it could have been handled improperly.
I mean, it definitely was. Botched.
100%. The thing I think that led to a lot of it is either the fright of the animals potentially doing something.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. Yeah, so nobody come after me. The other fact, seeing how close her body was to where a lot of the celebrities live, because Calabasas is also right next to, I think, Encino.
Yeah, they probably just wanted to, they're like, let's swift this under the rug real quick, because we don't want this type of attention around this area.
I mean, think about it. Think of how fast they try to clear shit out whenever there's a celebrity death or any type of death, and it's surrounding where celebrities or very wealthy people live.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I could see that. We've seen that in a lot of other cases. We know true. that is a true thing that does happen. So I could see that.
No police. That's the thing. Police officers are here to help and protect.
Right.
And if you have, say that you're the sheriff.
Yeah.
The last thing you want is your town to constantly be in the news for murders
or any or type
anything
of
cover crazy.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it's sad because there are good police out there that really are there. Because
Sheriff Grady.
Yeah, but there's a lot of police out there. I mean, even one of your friends, like he's a police officer, and he wants to make sure that, you know, things are done by the book, and he wants to help as much as he can.
He always looks at how he can better the police force, whether it's
and
figuring out how they can help the community.
And that's what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just some, they're there to protect you. And there's just some rotten apples. And that's with anything.
It's on both ends. Yeah. It's on both ends.
And it's sad to see that.
But I think with this case, what ultimately I'm leaning towards is that I think it could have been a mix of a lot.
I think so too.
She wasn't doing health well.
I feel like someone took advantage of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. They saw that.
100%.
I don't think she died on her own.
It definitely was not on her own. So I'm leaning towards foul play.
Right. But man, I can't even put into words what that could even be.
I will say, I definitely don't think the cartel was involved.
No, I don't think so.
Because again.
But it's just interesting.
Her body would have been going back down to Tijuana or some shit.
Not Tijuana.
Nah, your body, sure, her body gone.
I know. No, I agree. I mean, hopefully one day we can get some type of answers. Yes. But, well, and as of 2005, now no one's been charged. There's no one been held responsibly. And her case is officially closed in the eyes of Los Angeles County, but like in the eyes of the sheriff department and stuff, but it still remains unsolved. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
We'd love to hear from you. Seriously, if you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, does not matter how small you think it may be, send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mysteries just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, everyone. Bye.
Deuces.